Hello, I'm Fred Stella, president of the Interfaith Dialogue Association. Welcome to another edition of Common Threads. You know, when you think of the various religious denominations that we have here in the United States, and the idea of social justice, racial harmony, etc., etc., one denomination that really comes to mind is that of the Unitarian Universalists. What surprised me recently was an article about some of the history of the Unitarians and the Universalists before they were all one, about their association, about some of the people involved in the Unitarian and Universalist movements, who are also connected to the Ku Klux Klan. There's an article it's easy to acquire right now, called The Universalist Klansman. And it was written by Reverend Colin Boson. And I was able to contact Colin Boson because I thought this was fascinating. And it provides a new shade over the history of these denominations that ultimately became one and have done so much good for the United States in the communities that they serve. A little bit about our guest, Colin Boson. He is currently serving as the interim senior minister of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Houston. He has a PhD from Harvard, where he wrote a dissertation on the relationship between theology and populism. And you can read his thoughts at colinboson.com. So welcome to Common Threads, Colin.
Thanks. It's great to be with you.
Certainly. You know, we haven't had someone from the UU tradition on our program in a while, so why don't we review things for a bit, if you will. Could you give us a brief history of the two traditions that became your denomination? And let's make sure, so often the Universalists get short shrift in this. People say, oh, he's a Unitarian.
I think I'd like to just sort of start with kind of an overview of Unitarian Universalism as it stands now, and then I can talk a little bit about the history.
So, sure.
Today, Unitarian Universalism is a non-creedal religious tradition, which means that unlike, say, Christianity or Christianity writ large, we don't require people to prescribe to specific theological belief to be part of our religious communities. Instead, we are a covenantal tradition, which means that we covenant or agree to live together in certain ways. And so we covenant to build democratic societies, to honor the inherent worth and dignity of all people, to try to honor the great web of existence of which we are all a part, to seek truth and to seek sort of the great religious truth in the world. And in order to do this, we recognize that we need to honor the wisdom of the world's religious traditions and also honor the depth of our own personal experience with the ultimate in the world, whether that is something that people want to call God or something that we want to call the human spirit. So this means that within our congregations, you have people who have a wide variety of sort of religious and theological identities who feel comfortable being part of a Unitarian Universalist congregation. So in my congregation here in Houston, we have people who are avowed atheists, we have liberal Christians, we have liberal Jews, including my own family has a Jewish heritage, and so it's quite different than, say, what you might find at a Protestant Christian church on a Sunday morning in terms of the sort of breadth of people who are going to be there and their theological views, and in terms of kind of what we think of ourselves as doing together. Unitarian Universalism comes out of two dissenting religious traditions. The Unitarians, who have roots in both New England and in Europe, so the Puritan churches actually are the roots of the sort of Unitarian Christian churches, or the churches that became the Unitarian Christian churches, So some of the oldest churches in the United States, First Church Boston, First Church Salem, First Parish Cambridge, these are all Unitarian churches. The Puritans, over many centuries, became more and more liberal in their viewpoints because they actually also were covenantal in their practice. And so they became more, many of them became more liberal and became the sort of Unitarian churches in New England. And at the same time, Unitarianism has a very deep religious history in Europe, especially in Eastern Europe and places like what is now Transylvania, in parts of Lithuania and Poland, where in the 15th and 16th century, some of the earliest Protestants were Unitarian. And they really emerged from an intersection between Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, where people 400 or 500 years ago came to the conclusion that God is one, and that these three great monotheistic traditions were all, in fact, worshiping the same God, just through their different different expressions. So it's been a very theologically open, very capacious, welcoming in lots of different perspectives, drawing from a lot of different traditions for hundreds of years. And in the and in the United States, it's also been a very important tradition in terms of contributing to the world literature. So Ralph Waldo Emerson is probably the most famous Unitarian, and he was a Unitarian minister before he was a public intellectual. Unitarianism comes from this idea that Jesus is, that there, it comes from a rejection, the name comes from a rejection of the Trinity, so that there is no divinity of Jesus, or at least Jesus is not any more divine than any other person. So a famous sermon by a Unitarian minister, William Ellery Channing, he gave in 1819 in Baltimore, so we're coming up on the 200th anniversary of that, is called The Likeness, it's called Unitarian Christianity. And in that sermon, he talks about the likeness of God and how that each individual has within them the likeness to God, because they're all made in God's own image, and that by religious practice, religious discipline, study through action, we can come to realize that consciousness, and that what Jesus did in his telling was help point us to this understanding that Jesus was somebody who fully recognized or realized this consciousness. Universalism has a different history. It is much more exclusively a American phenomenon within the sort of last few centuries, although there are universalist churches outside of the United States that have come into being. But in terms of the roots of universalism in the United States, it really is comes from people here. And it is the idea that God does not condemn or damn his creation to eternal suffering and torment. That God loves everyone, no exceptions. And so it is not quite have the sort of length of history as Unitarianism, but does have a very strong, powerful justice component like Unitarianism, because it teaches that we're called to love all of creation, to love everyone, and that we should be trying to enact that love, the love that God has for all of creation in our lives. The Unitarians and the Universalists consolidated into a single denomination in 1961, and sort of contained, the Unitarian Universalist Association contains congregations that are both Unitarian and Universalist, and Unitarian Universalist, and even some congregations that are affiliated with what's called the Ethical Culture Movement, which is a kind of, well, a humanistic movement that comes out of the sort of Jewish tradition. So And that speaks to the sort of fact that we're not creedal, but covenantal, so congregations or congregations that have members that are willing to live by sort of a covenant of right relations are able to join the Unitarian Universalist Association.
So you're saying that there are churches today that market themselves, if you will, as universalist only. They're not Unitarian Universalist, they're Universalist, but they belong to the UU Association. Did I hear you right?
Right, and there, So there's, for instance, the Universalist National Memorial Church in Washington, D.C. That, in fact, Washington, D.C. has a Universalist Church, the Universalist National Memorial Church, that's part of the Unitarian Universalist Association. A Unitarian Church, the All Souls Unitarian Church in Washington, D.C., and an Ethical Culture Community, Ethical Culture Society, I think it's called, of Washington, D.C., all of which are part of the Unitarian Universalist Association, all with their own sort of unique theological histories and identities.
I see. Now, and early on, in the 18th century, you use the word Christian along with the word Unitarian. Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming that there has been an evolution of thought, if you will, that you don't necessarily need to use the word Christian, and perhaps many people in UU do not identify as Christian, correct?
Yeah, yeah, and that was a process that took place between, say, the middle of the 19th century and the present. I think really beginning with the Transcendentalists. So, like, I referenced Ralph Waldo Emerson, who's certainly the most famous of the Transcendentalists, but the Transcendentalists were almost entirely Unitarian intellectuals, and one of the things that they came to the conclusion of was that there was great wisdom to be learned in the world's religious traditions. And as they sort of came to that conclusion, they started to realize that Christianity didn't have the exclusive claim to sacred knowledge or to an understanding of how, you know, it means to be religious. And so they started to turn to these other traditions to for wisdom as well, alongside Christianity. And that began a process of really opening up Unitarianism and moving it away from being an exclusively Christian tradition. It's quite a profound epistemological, metaphysical shift, because it's really saying that these kind of ideas based in the Bible, based in sort of the long history of Western thought, are not, at the end of the day, somehow better or unique than, say, what you might find in Buddhism. And it's a really, in terms of sort of shifting the, in philosophical terms, people call the social imaginary, the way that we kind of think about the world in Western culture, it's an incredibly important shift, because that shift sort of is the moment where you start to later on make way for people doing things like yoga or meditation or things like that, because before those would have been considered quite heretical. And so by sort of moving this space open over time, over several generations, it creates the space for people who are drawing from spiritual or religious traditions that are non-Western. Philosophers often point to the Transcendentalists as kind of the moment, and I actually dislike this terminology, but at the moment that sort of you start to see a more pluralistic or a more secular society opening up in terms of like the key shift in the history of sort of Western religion and Western intellectual culture.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Common Threads on WGVU. I'm Fred Stella, and my guest today is Reverend Colin Bossin, and we're talking about his article, The Universalist Klansman, which now we will get to, Colin. So my first question about the article is that you write in this article, The Universalist Klansman, about how Unitarian Universalist theology is white theology. And I'm curious as to how concepts of divinity and its relationship to humanity can even have any sort of ethnic identity. How would having more people of color revise UU theology change anything?
So that's quite a complicated question. And so I think that the place that I actually want to start is with somebody who is not a Unitarian Universalist and who just died recently, the great scholar, theologian of Black Liberation Theology, James Cone. Cone, starting in the 1960s, worked on this idea of Black Liberation Theology. Liberation theology is the idea that God has a preferential option for the oppressed. So that if God's activity is to be found anywhere in the world, it is to be found amongst those who are oppressed and marginalized. And Cone makes the claim that in the United States, that means that God is going to be found active in the African-American community because the United States is a country that is historically white supremacist and is historically based on the exploitation of black and brown bodies to produce white wealth, and therefore the most exploited people include African-Americans or are primarily African-Americans. I guess it's just an important footnote. He's not the only person sort of making similar arguments in the 60s. There's also Vin Deloria Jr., who writes a book called God is Red, which sort of makes somewhat similar, although somewhat different, claims around indigenous people. And there's a variety of other thinkers and traditions that one can look to along these lines. One of the things, though, that Cone argues is that all theology comes out of a particular social location, right? So he's saying Black Liberation theology is something we should look to because it's coming to from the perspective of the poor and oppressed, and this is where we're most likely to find God being active. So building off Cone, I made the argument in that article and make the argument in general that Unitarian Universalist theology, as it is expressed in the United States, historically has come from primarily white or communities that imagine themselves to be white folks. And so when I say Unitarian Universalist theology is primarily white theology, what I'm saying is that historically, not contemporarily, and we'll get to that in a moment because that's part of your question, historically has been produced by people who imagine themselves to be white. And I want to sort of footnote here that the reason why I'm saying imagined themselves to be white is because it's important to understand that race is a social construct. It's not something that sort of has a existence outside of human culture and narratives, but it's something that we've created to sort of divide people up into different groups. So anybody who says that they're white is sort of imagining themselves to be in a particular racial category, which itself is socially constructed. So that's kind of what I'm trying to help Unitarian Universalists recognize, that our historical theology has, for the most part, come from these communities that have imagined themselves to be white. So someone like William Ellery Channing, who I referenced earlier, is a New Englander of European descent. Ralph Waldo Emerson, Henry David Thoreau, Margaret Fuller, any of these historical figures that have a sort of Unitarian connection, they have an identity that people would call white. And I think that in terms of understanding our anti-racist work and what is called for Unitarian Universalists to do today and for what Unitarian Universalism to become the religious tradition it's sort of called to become in this particular moment, it's really important to acknowledge this and understand this, which is not to elide the existence of people of color within Unitarian Universalism at all, because today Unitarian Universalism is a much more racially diverse movement than it was 50 years ago or certainly 100 years ago. And that has, I think, a variety of reasons. But one thing is just because our theology is actually incredibly open and powerful and justice-oriented. I mean, the idea that everyone has inherent worth and dignity, the idea that if you subscribe to a belief in the divine, God loves everyone, no exceptions, and does not condemn people to torment. The idea that we need not think alike to love alike. We can have a religious community where people have different religious beliefs, or theological beliefs, but we can still learn to be together. These are very powerful theological ideas that definitely transcend any kind of ethnic boundary. And actually, in order to realize their full potential, must transcend those kind of boundaries. The other thing that I would say in reference to sort of Unitarian Universalist theology being white theology, I'm specifically talking about the historical trajectory of the Unitarian Universalist Association. So I'm talking about the American Unitarian Association, which went on to form the Unitarian Universalist Association, and the Universalist Church of America, which went on to form the Unitarian Universalist Association. I'm not talking about the sort of dissenting religious ideas that comprise contemporary religious Unitarian Universalist theology, because those you can actually find present in dissenting religious communities devoted to the project of collective liberation, devoted to the project of nourishing human flourishing throughout really the world, and that we can find universalist ideas of God loving everyone in Christian movements and kinds of Sufi Islam amongst the Spanish anarchists in a particular way, although they wouldn't use the word God, but a sense of sort of universal benevolence towards humanity amongst indigenous movements in places like Chiapas, Mexico, such as the Zapatistas. You can find these kinds of ideas or similar things to these ideas present there, just as you can find similar expressions around sort of Unitarian conceptions of, the fancy word is Christology, but who Jesus was, the historical persons of Jesus in these dissenting traditions. And I use the word dissenting intentionally because these traditions have almost always been opposed to the sort of great powers and principalities of the world. So they've been opposed to quite often critical of capitalism, quite often critical of the central governance or imperialism. And my friend Joanne Braxton, who just retired from William & Mary, is now on the staff of All Souls in D.C., talks about kind of this split between the historical trajectory of the Unitarian Universalist Association and these kinds of movements that I'm describing as organic universalism. And she uses that terminology much in the same way that I'm talking about how Unitarian Universalism is white, to remind us that actually if we look outside of these particular set of institutions, we find that our theological ideas are, or similar theological ideas are quite widely shared by these kinds of dissenting communities. So I think that that's kind of like the historical theological outlay. I think that it's important to say that then in contemporary Unitarian Universalism, one thing that has happened, or an important thing that has happened, is the sort of church has become more multiracial over time, just like most of American society, right? And we've had this theology that says we're called to love everybody, we're called to build these inclusive communities, and over time, people have come into Unitarian Universalism, or some of them have been here all along and have been able to now make a greater voice for themselves. And so they've started to say, well, Unitarian Universalism is historically a white tradition. We're not white. These theological ideas have great resonance and power for us. And so in order for you all, you historically white Unitarian Universalist congregations, to actually live into your theology, to actually be the people you say you are, you really need to do this work of anti-racism. You need to really address the fact that some of these theological ideas are inherently sort of white theological ideas or come from, you know, communities that imagine themselves to be white. And that is the way that Unitarian Universalism is going to actually be transformed into being a reflection of the theology that we all hold. And I think it's incredibly important work. It's maybe actually the most important work to be done, because I think that Unitarian Universalist communities, and this gets to your statement earlier about the sort of justice work that we've done in the world, have an incredible power to transform the world. But if we're going to really live into that power to transform the world, we need to do some of our own internal work on intentionally being anti-racist, intentionally addressing the ways in which coming from these historically white institutions causes us to act out kinds of white supremacy, kinds of patterns of patriarchy and whatnot within our own institution.
I have to stop you right here, because we are down to the wire for this edition of Common Threads, but there's so much more to talk about. So I'm hoping you'll be able to join us next week and we can continue.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Common Threads on WGVU. I'm Fred Stella, and with me today has been Reverend Colin Bawson, and we're talking about his article, The Universalist Klansman. And you can read that article and other things by Reverend Bawson at his website, Colin Bawson, that's Bawson.com. Please join us again next week right here on Common Threads.